Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the NutraMedical Report, in hour number two. And I'm not sure with our new board op, Ken, if we're able to track down our regular hour two guests or Craig Gwynn. Apparently, his wife had a major problem with having to go to hospital with possible food poisoning. So we'll see if he's able to be coming on hour number three, which we have open time slot, or even this hour. So we're still trying to contact him through our special guests. How are things going, Ken? Getting some feedback. So yeah. So basically, we're not having any luck whatsoever. So people need to start praying too, because this is a supernatural thing. The contact with Craig Gwynn, we started looking at possibly having him on as long as 4 years ago. I just talked last week to Jerry McLaughlin, special guest, when I found out about his history, which is quite remarkable. He actually traveled around and actually personally allowed himself to be abducted by members of these extreme Muslim groups as a journalist, and actually recorded information and put it in his books. And if I go to Craig Gwynn's books, you can. I'm just going to kind of discuss some of the books that Craig Gwynn has put out. He's the actual inventor of the original. The latest one is, of course, Prophet of Doom, Islam's Terrorist Dogma in Muhammad's Own Words. That was April 25th, 2004. T with terrorists. This is when they were about to execute him, even though he was a journalist. And then, of course, they were going to have kill him, but then he said, how about we have some tea? And then when they started having tea, they decided not to kill him. So he managed to write this, T with terrorists. Who are they and why do they kill? This is from January 25th, 2003. If it's not impossible, it's not interesting. Let's see now. Let's see what else do we have here. Prophet of Doom. Let's see. So those are interesting books, and they explain things. The Prophet of Doom and the Terrorists is one of the latest ones, and it's available in hardcover. He has a pretty solid view of what Islam is, which is extremely dangerous. And we bring on Bill Warner. He'll be coming back. He was traveling in Europe the last month or so. He'll be coming back with, I'm sure, some amazing stories. But Sharia law and Islam, and the fact that there's no such thing as moderate Islam, is all extremely dangerous. And many Muslims haven't even read the Quran or the Hadith, but they call themselves Muslims because they're more born into a Muslim family. Some of them drink beer or alcohol like they do in Turkey. But you have to understand that all forms of Islam, in one way or another, once they achieve a significant minority or majority, want to have Sharia law. Sharia law courts are completely anathema to Western culture and Western democracy. And you need to realize they never mix or integrate. It's like oil and water with our society. And by the way, I just got a message from our friend Tajinder Gill. That's funny. Yeah. So with Tajinder, of course, I did a show yesterday with him on Revelation Radio. He's a Sikh out of London that does a show out of the East Coast of the United States called Revelation Radio. And we did a two-hour show yesterday talking about, in the first hour, primarily functional medicine wellness. In the second hour, we talked about many other topics, which I think you'll find. We'll have that MP3 posted up probably later today. And a link directly to the YouTube video, which will talk about any of these topics you want to hear about. And see, I'm not sure Let's go back to our original things now. I want to mention some of the things that we were supposed to talk about. Camille de Toffel from, let's see now. He wants to get, he wants to know if I can send him a link. So, Ken, perhaps you can send me the hyperlink directly, or we can get you to Jinder Gill's link that may help us to identify his profile, and then we'll see if we can connect to him, because he just tried to contact me a second ago. And his name is Tajinder Gill. T-A-J-I-N-D-E-R-G-I-L-L. Just contact me. From... Yeah, I will. I'm trying to do that right now. But unfortunately, he had a, three participants in his group call. Let's see if I can find Tajinder here. Tajinder Gill. All right, let's see if we can track him down here and get his profile. There we are. And I've got this over here to you here that is his Skype address. So perhaps if he's live right now, of course, it's 8 hours later in London. There it will be around 7 p.m. London time. And we had a very interesting show yesterday, by the way, that covered a lot of topics. He also had a lady, Nisa, that was actually also tapped in directly from Greece, who was also there asking questions while we're on air. So that was good. So let's see if we can track to Jinder Gill and see if we can connect with him now if we can. Let's see also here. All right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so that should be good. We should be able to connect with him shortly. And it opened up a number of topics. That's why it's good to have a dialogue. As I mentioned on the show, it doesn't matter which problem area you bring up, whether it's a medical, or geopolitical, financial, economic, scientific, astrophysical, or other problems, I will provide you an answer instantly in any sphere of human activity on Earth, or a framework to find the answer, whether it's a geopolitical, financial, spiritual, or other issue. And that's the reason why this is happening is we're at the time of the unveiling or the apocalypse, and that unveiling is going to start happening with not just me, but many others are going to happen. With it, this transformation of the nature of what it is to be a human being and become a structurally unified organism is going to occur, that we're going to become a different kinds of supra-species from what we previously were. And that happens to happen with empathy, with level of intelligence, and of the knowledge of things that transcends beyond our parochial normal level of we call inquiry and availability of information. We're going to be able to ascend to a higher level of reality. A studio is calling you. And there we go. So we'll see if Tajinder will be available to come on and ask a few questions and talk about the show yesterday. That may also assist us. I'm not sure how lucky we are, but we're working on it. And if you do have important questions, do try to stay on track. They are all screened. You can call 800-313-9443 on Showtime. we are looking at multi-tracks here. Mr. Trump obviously is demonstrating that if he's a Christian, he's a baby Christian. He's also a high-level Mason, and he's very much a narcissist, has a touch of Asperger's syndrome, so his mouth moves sometimes faster than his brain. And often, if they massage his ego, he'll actually do things that basically violate even previously things he said. Now, I think he's a good man overall, but I think he's, unfortunately, can easily be steered by his daughter by crying over these children who believed a lie that this was done by Bashar al-Assad and that he's a monster. In fact, Trump continues to say this foolishness that an eye doctor with a British wife is a monster, when in fact, when there's a war in your country, people are going to die. And we and the British directly supported ISIS and Al-Qaeda and these other nations, other armies that are fighting against Bashar al-Assad, because we planned to do a regime change going back over 30 years. And the fact that Trump continues to state things that are lies, like the number of missiles that all hit, or that Bashar al-Assad's a monster, or in advance of the toxicology test done by the United Nations independent team is going to prove that he's not understanding the truth or knows the truth, but proceeded anyway to, with his advisors, start a missile attack. If he does any other actions without proper advice from the Congress, if he doesn't get impeached now, he will be impeached in the middle of his presidency when the Congress and Senate are taken over by Democrats, because if he continues to screw up and he doesn't have his own base, he will lose the power of the Senate and Congress, and he will be impeached in 2018 or thereafter, and he won't finish out his four-year term. That's the fact. So we need to pray for Mr. Trump that he actually gets a clue and doesn't get rid of Mr. Bannon, does start to go to Congress and get proper advice and investigation before he proceeds further, and doesn't try to play this game so he can get NBC and these lying media off his neck, trying to say that he's so-called collaborating with the Russians, which nothing could be more foolish. In fact, there's more evidence that the collaboration is occurring. Okay, Taj can join us. Okay, that's good. Okay, is Taj available now? Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, excellent. Okay, so he's apparently he will be available here to speak at least for a few minutes. So it's good to hear people from outside the country, too, with a different perspective. Do we have Taj? I think so. Do we have Taj available? Yes, is Taj available?
Hi.
Hello, Taj. We had a great show yesterday. I appreciate you sending me information about our program we did yesterday for 2 hours. We've had some, if you know about spiritual attacks, I didn't get a notification, but they actually shut down the entire studios today for rebroadcast without notifying me. Luckily, Ken was there. So we're doing live shows today on Skype rather than because he didn't show them how to do the proper settings for my access. And then on top of that, all my guests, the first hour guest, Craig Gwynn, who's an expert on Islam, who actually founded the organization that later became the foundation for Amazon, the largest marketing organization in the world. He actually wrote a number of interesting books about Islam and how dangerous it was. Having been a Sikh and understanding the danger of Islam in India, you probably understand it in an organic way how Islam is not a typical religion at all. It's primarily a geopolitical control system. And people need to understand the danger of trying to mix it with any culture on Earth, including the cultures in India. And in fact, most people are not watching that one of the most dangerous flashpoints is not North Korea, but the potential war between India and Pakistan. And we helped AQ Khan, providing him nuclear technology, which was later shared, by the way, with North Korea, and in collaboration with the state of It's a Real Hell, Israel. So that North Korea's weapon systems basically came through AQ Khan, through our systems directly to help the Pakistanis to eventually develop nukes in Waziristan. So we talked about wellness yesterday in the first hour. In the second hour, we talked about a lot of spiritual and other issues. Do you have any questions after yesterday's show that came through either on email or questions you have yourself that you'd like to raise?
There was a question. After I spoke with my other co-host, Sarah.
Right. She got knocked off the air, too, for a good part of the show. Like, we lost her.
That was Nyssa. I have another co-host called Sarah Adams.
Yeah.
she hasn't been doing the show because she's not well at the moment. I wanted to ask if there's any way you can, you know, check what's wrong with her, because she's been, she was diagnosed with lupus a long time ago, and she's been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, but personally I think that's a misdiagnosis. But
well, they go together. You can have lupus and fibromyalgia. Let's find what lupus is. If you look at the stippling pattern of the antinuclear antibody, it tells you if they have lupus or not. Secondly, they have not only antibodies against their DNA, single or double-stranded DNA, they also have other cytokine levels in their tissues. And most people don't realize that lupus is a stealth infection that triggers autoimmune diseases. And fibromyalgia is a mitochondriopathy that induces the mitochondria to go into what's called hypoxic mode, so that you have elevated levels of cytokines and mitochondrial dysfunction causing fibromyalgia. So if she sends me even just a paragraph or so to start with, the first thing is to do is, I'm a medical intuitive, so I'll know intuitively what kinds of tests we should do, both in the physical, and if you get a quantum testing like QRMA machine or access. For example, if she traveled to New York and got a metapathy and a QRMA scan, it would help me tremendously and be able to know what's going on in her body. Right. If she wants to do blood tests, I do not only immunotoxicology tests, but also immunology tests to know what's going on in terms of the possibility of a stealth pathogen. Now, one of the things that I've done a couple of years ago, and I stopped doing it because I started having some significant problems, is doing what's called proxy testing, where I would actually be prey and become the proxy for a person doing testing thousands of miles away. Although it started to affect my own physical health, I started to accumulate their frequency patterns. So I stopped doing that. And I think the most important thing is that we start with the basics, clear the pathogens, and restore the normal mitochondrial function, decrease the cytokines. And one of the best new nutraceuticals we have for that, for lupus, is not only are things like cell detox, glutathione, and cell defense plus, the glutathione helps get rid of the hydroperoxy radical, and the gamma A plus gets rid of nitroperoxy radical, and cell defense plus gets rid of is a special curcumin, which is well known as the most sacred nutraceutical in India and worldwide, is curcumin, but it's very poorly absorbed. But we have a new technology that's far more absorbed than any other nutraceutical on the planet in curcumin. And then a new nutraceutical we're launching next week that's called Nutriimmune 26Y, it's an immunoglobulin transfer factor nutraceutical we've been working on for years, and have it now finally launching. And what it does is it actually lowers the cytokine levels in conditions like lupus and fibromyalgia and all autoimmune diseases, as well as C-reactive protein and PI-1, which is plasminogen activator inhibitor. And if we simply put her on some of these things like Nutriimmune 26Y and some of the cytokine blockers and antipathogenics like our Edgar Cayce monoatomic iodine, Nutriodine, my NutriSilver, which I designed, nobody else in the world has anything like it because it's my design, and Allicin Med, we can clear the pathogens from her body, lower cytokine levels, and restore mitochondrial function. So usually the lupus will settle down, and you can actually measure cytokine levels. If people don't believe it, you can measure it at labs like Immunosciences in Los Angeles, or there's labs in Britain. She lives in Britain, right?
No, she lives in Dallas.
Oh, in Dallas, Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's labs right here that I can recommend. So if she wants conventional tests, I can tell her what labs to do that can actually validate what's going on with her. The conventional doctors are so ignorant, they don't even know that they're ignorant. And we're talking about not only regular family doctors and internal medicine docs, but subspecialists in immunology and toxicology and infectious disease. For example, we're having a major explosion of fibromyalgia, which is primarily a stealth infection. It's very probable it's a stealth infection with probably an intracellular pathogen, such as an RNA virus like Zika, and or a toxic fungi. For example, we now have Candida auris coming out of Japan last year that has a 30% case fatality rate. So if you get it, 30% of the time you die. And most people are aware that Lyme disease is exploding all over the world, and Lyme-like parasites are the primary trigger of autoimmune diseases that attack some oligodendrocytes in the brain. So if you look at the HLA haplotype of someone and the presence of Lyme or Lyme-like parasites, that's the primary trigger of multiple. Stay right there, Taj. We'll be back in 813-9443.
Sorry, say that again.
813-9443 is the call-in number if you want to call in and ask questions of me or Taj.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
So Taj, we will help your friend that has that problem with lupus, and people need to know that typical lupus-altering drugs are extremely dangerous. Many of them can cause cancer or can cause immune system failure, so you can end up with horrifying infections. So you don't want to do that. And unfortunately, the medical system right now is inventing more and more horrendous drugs. I just saw a commercial last night while I was watching a few minutes of one of the channels I speed through in Fox News to find out what the latest false news media are saying, and Fox is the only one I can even stomach, and they're pretty bad now too. But they had a commercial about a new drug that this woman took, this drug that if she was PD-L1 positive, she had oat cell, small oat cell carcinoma, this drug could replace chemotherapy both by boosting her immune system to attack the tumor. I already have clinics that I can send people to in Tijuana, Mexico, where they can take your white cells out, train them to actually attack your cancer, multiply them in a laboratory, and give them back to you over a period of time. They'll attack your tumor. So the idea of immune augmentation therapy, which they have already in other countries, is available right now not only in Europe but also in Mexico. But here in America, with the regulatory authorities, you have to be outside the country. And these are often American-trained doctors that move to Mexico because the regulatory arrangements are so horrendous that the competition doesn't want you to be more successful as treating tumors other than typical chemotherapy. The average person, and when they get a diagnosis of cancer, generates in the healthcare system $1.3 million in additional billings before they die. That's a physical number that's real. So your friend with lupus, we can help her, and fibromyalgia. And it's exploding.
I think she has tried treatments before, but I think they've done more harm than good, to be honest with you. A lot of them.
Yeah, she probably tried conventional treatments.
Yeah.
Disease-modifying drugs and other things, steroids, whatever.
Yeah.
So all very bad. And, of course, what happens a lot of times, if they get lupus nephritis, they'll actually lose the function of their... here we are. We got something going on here. They lose the function of the kidneys. Now, do I have a question by someone here?
She does have kidney and liver problems as well, I think.
Yeah, no, if you haven't properly treated what you've done. Yeah, we have a question. It looks like someone's called in. Is that right?
I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
But I need to have your specific question given to our board.
Okay.
I'll look at that question first. Screen. Okay, so tell our board op, and we'll go from there, okay? Yeah, I need the full question or statement before I do a screening to allow them on the air. Taj, so what other questions would you like to ask? After yesterday's show, I did what I call a stream of consciousness kind of program, and as you saw, I didn't slow down very much. Unfortunately, Nisa in Greece wasn't able to connect because somehow she lost her Skype connection a couple times. As I'm sure she was in bated breath, wanted to ask a lot of questions because, as I say, and this finds people a little shocked, and to be honest with you, a little shy to do this, I tell them that no matter whether it's a question in medicine, geopolitics, finances, or astrophysics or spiritual issues, I will provide an answer or framework to find the answer instantly on air anytime on live radio or on simulcast video, and people are a little shocked. They say, that's not possible, and they said, I can prove it. Ask me a question on anything, and I'll provide you an answer. Go ahead.
I want to ask you, what do you think about nanotechnology? I know it seems to be used quite a lot now.
Yeah, it's very disturbing what's going on in some countries. They're doing nanotechnology research and actual in production. They create nanotech circuits and nanotech machines that are down to what we call the angstrom level. And when you create these machines, some of them are self-replicatory. And when you take a metal or a mineral and you turn it into a nanotech size, they are thousands of times more toxic. So, for example, the particles they put in the upper troposphere are actually...
Is
Ivanka, yeah. And the next to her would be Jared Kushner.
Did you hear that the New York Times reporter made a mistake and he when he was talking about Tribulation Trump's wife? He said Ivanka was his wife.
What happens is... Oh, that's strange.
No, I did not.
No, that's the New York Times. And they had to retract it because... And it was an honest mistake.
Okay, let's see if we can get the guy really thought he was. I don't see it on my...
That is hilarious.
Because she's more of his wife than...
That's his daughter wife, as they call it.
Bill Maher called it.
Yeah, daughter wife.
So Steve Bannon.
I think that there's always been a few.
I don't think Bannon likes.
He doesn't.
Plus, he's Jewish. You know?
And I think that he does. He may not like him for the reasons which are obvious. That here's this young man, and he's been being put into this.
So so Ken, what happened? How come it didn't come through on Skype?
The problem is Bannon.
He just talked to you, or did he not?
As well, but he may think that he's a better fit.
You gotta always type it in, and then I can actually screen determine if I'm going to bring him on or not.
Is it not wrong for America to be placed?
Yeah, I use the Skype chat so I can talk. I know who it is and why they call
it. By going to republicbroadcasting.org.
We've already given the presidency over to someone who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So any other position thereafter,
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction construction's a legal issue and your property can be restored to you.
And
your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You gotta let me go. Are we human? Or are we dancer? My sign is vital. My hands are cold. And I'm on my knees looking for the answer. Are we human? Or are we dancer?
And welcome back. And Taj, I guess we're back. We do have a caller, but it wasn't properly screened. They need to give the text information to me so I can screen all callers to make sure that we don't, as they say, suffer fools. We want good questions. Doesn't matter if you're qualified or have degrees or letters behind your name. You just have to ask a really good question that's appropriate to what we're doing. And if it's a change of topic, it has to be something that's appropriate. Taj, go ahead with your next question. Go ahead.
Yeah, leading on from like nanotechnology, the whole transhumanism agenda, like Agenda 2045, which
let me quote Dr. Ron Klatz on that. About 4 years ago, he attended in Bahrain at the Burj Dubai Hotel, an international forum, economic forum, And one of the sections they wanted to talk about was anti-aging and transhumanism. But they actually suppressed the anti-aging technology. And, of course, Dr. Klatz is the founding co-host of the American Association of Anti-Aging Medicine, A4M. And they have 820 health professionals worldwide and 28,000 doctors that belong to the organization, including PhDs, scientists, etc., and health professionals around the world. They really didn't want to look at life extension technology. They wanted to push transhumanism, which is really bizarre. Now, people need to understand, if you talk to people like Zuckerberg and others that are owning a lot of technology in the Silicon Valley, within 5 to 7 years, they want to replace the cell phone with direct brain interface. Now, I found out that the latest MD Athlon 1800 chip that I have, which is a parallel processing chip, it's so fast, I can have hundreds of windows open and even do my simulcast broadcasting. It doesn't clock it or drop it in terms of processing speed at all. Now, my previous chip, which is an Intel's i7, it would just crash if I opened more than a few windows.
Yeah.
Now, they have a Halo. You can purchase it. It's going to be available from a company affiliated with the company that makes MD Athlon. That can allow you to interface directly to use thought through a non-liquid cooled nitrogen halo so that your cortex or your brain can actually influence and control a chip through MindLink. And eventually what these cell phone companies want to do is they want to replace the computer screen and processors that can have two-way communication with your cortex or your brain and your deep nuclei. So people can literally have cybernetic physical experiences like going inside a war game or actually seeing what you see, hear what you hear. And the idea is to actually create a cybernetic world interface. This is very scary. And people don't understand that the cell phone companies, I think that the next big thing won't be cell phone or fancy laptops or iPads with, you know, these new, 4K screens, which I have right here. I have a 4K screen from Samsung. It's going to be direct brain interface. So even if you're blind, you'll be able to have experiences or even to download information from other human beings, like learning a language or experiencing something like hang gliding, and have all these sensory stimuli coming directly into your brain, not just visual. That's, to me, very scary.
I don't know if you've seen the future of Facebook. They did a video and where you can literally meet your friends on Facebook virtually, so you can be at a location and you can invite your friends to join you, in the virtual reality kind of sense. Right. That's sort of the future of Facebook, basically. It's not going to be on a computer screen. It's going to be virtual Facebook, pretty much.
Right. And so, you see, the thing is, what they wanted me to do, and I'm just going to go backtrack here because I have special skill sets that are very unusual. I was starting to program in nonlinear languages, PL1, Pascal, etc., in the early 1970s on the... at that time, they called the most advanced computers that we had at our universities, like the IBM 36050. And these are pretty ancient computers by comparison, and the processing speed now in our cell phones and iPads and computers like the new MD Athlon 1800 has the processing capacity to actually directly interface with the human mind. What most companies don't realize is that a lot of the technology that they want to launch in, say, 20, 30, or 50 years has already been developed. When I traveled from the East to West Coast a number of years ago in first class, I started talking to one of the senior program developers at Apple Corporation, and they actually were working on light optic circuit parallel compressing processing laptop supercomputers. In other words, they weren't using electrical circuits or ICs. They're using what's called nanotechnology integrated light circuits and or not to actually simulate processing capacity in parallel processing circuits, which is like the MD Athlon, which has the first parallel processing supercomputer circuits in the world. And I can tell you, it's screaming fast. It's so fast, it's mind-boggling. The thing about the brain is entirely parallel processing, which means that the processing capacity of just one cell in the body is more than all the computers on Earth. And what they're soon doing is they're approaching what's called the parallel processing what's called singularity, where they want to create artificial intelligence that will reprogram itself. Now, when people, like I argued a few weeks ago with Jim Fetcher, who was a philosophy professor for 35 years, University of Wisconsin, and or Minnesota, it could be one or the other, but he was in one of those northern states, and he said that it's not possible to create artificial intelligence. And I have to say, he's absolutely and completely wrong because he doesn't understand the mathematics. I can create an artificially intelligent, reprogrammable supercomputer circuit, and I could do that decades ago. In fact, when I was recruited to work at the on the World MS Tissue Repository with Dr. Wallace Tortolot at UCLA in the VA hospital, they wanted me to work on the World MS Tissue Brain Bank and electron microscopy and immunology testing laboratory at UCLA and VA. And they had already in Dr. Tortolot's office at the VA hospital a mock-up of an F-14 fighter with a liquid nitrogen-cooled magnetronic helmet to control onboard commands. And it would shine specific icons in the canopy of the jet, and then by eye movements they could track and activate the specific ordinances or fly the jet at fly by thought instead of fly by wire. So when people say this is not possible, what they wanted me to do is work on, and because I'd already been working on how to actually compress the data for visual and optic digital data from the Rontgen codes in the eye, and I actually wrote a program 45 years ago to do it, and they were aware that I could actually do that. So when people say you can't do these things, they do not understand that there's a qualitative difference in the intelligence of people that are super smart than normal people. It's not quantitative, it's qualitative. It's completely different. Mm-hmm. The minds of people that are really, really smart works completely different than people who are not. Completely different. Yeah,
I mean, I'm a computer engineer, so I know all about computers. I've worked in computers about 25
right, so,
years.
Right, so you understand that the idea that artificial intelligence can't be made is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, do you think there's a danger in using quantum computing because...
Yeah, here's what they do with quantum computing. It's called quantum parallel computing.
Yeah.
And that's why when you see things like... Later on, they did some more digging, and they found out that he was about to be accused of stealing from the police department.
He was involved in trying to hire a hitman to kill a city councilman, and he was having an affair with one of his subordinates. So turned out he committed suicide. But I point out these examples because it's a profession that's in trouble, in big trouble. You know, Romans 1:29, what I've just described. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, a lot of backbiters in law enforcement, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. At this point, I can hear a lot of people objecting that these are only some cops. You know, most officers aren't like that, right? Of course, there's a sliding scale of corruption. Goes from a little bit to a lot. And, you know, even if an officer does everything by the book, he files accurate reports, he fills out his timesheet correctly, he only uses his vehicle for what he's supposed to use it for, treats every violator of the law the same, doesn't lie under oath, doesn't steal. I mean, even if he does all these things, he's still not good before God. And, but their temptations are great in this field. If you think about things like, I'll give you some scenarios. You know, you're the first officer that comes along a car that's a fatal car crash late at night, and no one else there. You recognize that from the tinted windows and some of the other things around the car that this is a drug dealer. You look under the seat, and there's a couple $1,000, you know, sitting under that seat. And you know, here you are. You're late on your truck payment by a couple months, and you think, you know, if I didn't take this money, I'd just have to turn around and give it back to family members of this drug dealer, you know, and you think, well, what would you do in that situation? What would some of the people you know do in that situation? And a lot of times, not the right thing, obviously. Another scenario I could envision is you're, you know, if you're a homicide detective and you're questioning a subject, and you know, you're trying to get a confession, the chief is bugging you about getting your closure rate up, you know. Post some of these homicide cases, and you're pressing, and he finally confesses. But there's something a little off about the timeline that he described in his confession. And, you know, your partner says to you, well, you know, if you just fudge this timeline just a little bit, get him to say something a little different, you know, we can wrap this up and go home. You know, does that happen? Yeah, I think it does.
Oh, yeah.
You know, finally, here's one that's very similar to something I saw personally. You're cleaning out your squad car after the end of the shift. You know, you just booked somebody in on a minor charge, and as you're cleaning out the car, you notice a small revolver tucked in the crack of the seat, in the back seat. And you know that it belonged to that guy that you just put in jail, and he's going to bond out in the morning. So you could put a serious charge on him if you claim that gun. But the problem is, you just searched him before you put him in the car, and if you identify that gun, your partner's going to know that you put his life at risk, and you know you really messed up. He's not going to want to work with you anymore. No one else is either. So those are the kinds of things that the cops run into. And if there's anybody listening from that world, they're probably a little uncomfortable right now, because cops tend to think of themselves as the good guys.
That'll be uncomfortable.
Yeah. But, you know, what I'm saying is true. And, you know, 1 John 3:4 says, whoever commits sin breaks the law. And so cops are lawbreakers too, whether they believe it or not. I think that the police here in this country have started to lose their moral authority. And in our travels around the world, in third world countries, it's gone. There's no question, okay? A lot of the cops in third world countries are just there to shake down the people, take their money, and there is no pretense of enforcing the law. And I know there's people here that know that's true because they've come from places like that. But even in this country, you know, the last time a good cop was depicted on TV was Dragnet. You know, how far do you have to go back, right? Joe Friday?
Just the facts, ma'am.
You know, the more common example of police today in Hollywood is Training Day. You know, Alonzo Harris, was that his name? Denzel Washington's character says you have to be a wolf to catch a wolf. You know, yeah. That's right. And you know, he's a coke snorting, skirt chasing, murderous, villainous, you know, cop. And you know, obviously that's the extreme exaggeration, right? That's Hollywood, but Hollywood is perception. It's what the American people believe. So the American people, they're starting to lose respect in their law enforcement, you know, if it's not already gone. And you could say, well, yeah, American people are fools to believe Hollywood in anything, but I know that it's actually true in a lot of instances, you know, especially the reason I know that a lot of cops are rotten to the core is because they're not saved and they're not washed in the blood.
That's right.
They're sitting in the same dung heap that you and I were sitting in before God picked us up and brought us here and put us in this church.
That's right.
I tell you a personal story. When I first started my law enforcement career, I was assigned to the office over here in Fort Lee, right across the river. I think I got my directions. Is it over there?
Yeah. Right.
And we did a lot of interviews out in Newark in the Bronx. And back then, I'll tell you what, I would go to the Bronx any day over Newark. Newark was rough. It was... one day I was out with a partner and we were looking for someone to interview about passport fraud, because that's what we were investigating, passport fraud, you know, a document crime, not you know, not murder, just passport fraud. And we realized that our witness that we wanted to talk to was living in the projects in Newark. And we drove by the building and we looked at it and said, this is not where two feds in suits want to go by themselves up the stairs. Let's go find some uniformed cops that can help us out. So we drove over to the local precinct and walked in, and the desk, it was about as high as this pulpit is from the floor. I mean, I've never seen a desk so high in my life, but the desk sergeant's sitting there, and we walk up, and he's like, what do you need, you know? And we said, well, sir, we're from the federal government, and we're here to investigate some passport fraud out here in Newark, and can we get some help from a couple of your officers? And he says, yeah, it's going to be a few minutes. I got one car, and they're tied up over there. And he points to his holding cell, and there's one man in the holding cell, and you're going to think I'm making this up, but I'm not. This man looked like Jesus. He was a white male with long, hair, long beard, bare-chested, had on a loincloth, and he was handcuffed to the bench. And these guys were taking a telephone book and smacking him left and right with this telephone book. And I thought up until that point that was just an urban legend, that police never actually tuned somebody up with a telephone book, you know. But saw it firsthand. And they finished. I don't know how they decided they were done, but eventually they decided they were done, and they walked out. And the desk sergeant introduced us, and they said, okay, let's go. And these guys never said a word about Jesus sitting over there. They didn't. They just kept going. So we drove over to the projects, and we didn't stop there. We stopped out in front. We just ran right up the stairs. We didn't dally around. And we got up. It was probably 3 or 4 floors up. And we get to the apartment, and one of these police officers knocks on the door. And somebody says, huh? What? And he muffled his voice and kind of went, is Paul there? Huh? What do you need? What? Is Paul there? And the door cracked about this far, and he went, bam! And he hit it with his palm of his hand and just knocked the door back, and Grandma went flying back into the room, went in, put everybody down on the floor, and then turned to us and said, okay, it's yours. We never mentioned to him that these people were dangerous, that they had a gun, that they were up to no good. It was just a witness in a passport fraud case, right? So it made me think, like, if this is the way they view the community, this is the way they treat people in this community, why do they think that, why are they surprised when the community thinks that they're racist, that they're, you know, happy on the trigger and all that kind of stuff? Obviously, they won't, right? You're not going to build any bridges that way. So now my law enforcement brethren are saying, Jeff, you've gone soft. And I say, no, I've been set free. I've been saved. There's no justice in this life. Okay, Chicago's murders are not going away until the 1,000-year reign of peace. It's not going to happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. We just made it.
Thank you. You know, you officers are going to keep pushing against that cement wall, hoping that it falls over, but it's not falling over because there's a supernatural being behind that wall holding it up, and his name is Satan. And if you try to turn away from pushing that wall down, he's just going to chase after you with his pension and say, hey, come back and push a little longer. You know, he's got your pension in his hand. He's saying, come back here and push on that wall some more. And you know it's not falling down either. But I do want to be fair to cops, okay? And I'm not going to idolize them anymore, but I will be fair. You know, some of the behavior that we think is hatred and anger and ego is just fear. And they probably have good reason to be fearful in a lot of situations, right? But for the most part, police officers are like teenagers. They think that they're not vulnerable, that they're invincible. I remember my father used to tell me about people that he'd arrest and they would say, you know, if you weren't wearing that badge, I'd kick your, I can say it because Pastor said, I'll kick your ass. And he'd say, well, okay, let me take this badge off here. Let me hand my gun over to my partner. What are you waiting for, right? What are you waiting for? And my dad's, he's a tough guy, you know. I had to take an online test one time to see, because the test would tell you, are you vulnerable to street crime? I said, I'll try this. They asked a bunch of questions. It said, are you a male? Yes, I am. Are you taller than 5'6"? A little bit. Can you lift your body weight? Yes. You carry a gun? Yes. Have you had self-defense training? You bet. You ever been in a street fight? Well, a few. Are you aware of your surroundings? Yep. Are you mentally capable? Are you physically capable? I answered yes to those. And the results came back and said, bad guys should be afraid of you. But I know that's not the reality. You know, there's always somebody out there that's badder than you.
That's right.
Right. Muhammad Ali could have been killed in 30 seconds by a whole host of men. I mean, there was a Navy SEAL who wrote a book a few years ago, and he said that he beat up Jesse Ventura in a bar fight, and he had the most kills in Iraq, which was true. But, you know, if you know the story, if you saw the movie, he ended up being killed by a guy he was trying to help. You know, everyone is vulnerable. And you'll see a lot of times police officers, they practice with their guns all the time. They go to the range for qualification, you know, four times a year. And they get in a shootout in a convenience store, and somebody who's never picked up a gun is deadly accurate, you know. And the point is that the police officer's belief that he is invincible is a lie that Satan tells him, okay? And if you're a female officer, forget about it. I'm not going to be politically correct and tell you that they don't get beat up, that they don't get punched, disarmed, and worse. You know, for me, I kind of discovered how vulnerable I could be when I was a Border Patrol agent back in, started in 1996. You didn't know, with all this talk of the border wall, you didn't know you had somebody in the congregation who used to be a Border Patrol agent, but I was. And I found out how vulnerable I was when I was trying to arrest somebody and his brother started throwing baseball-sized rocks at my head. Luckily, I was able to duck behind a vehicle. The rocks were smashing the windows. I fired a shot at this man in the middle of the night, and it came so close that he stood still for 45 minutes and didn't move a muscle while I was waiting for somebody to back me up out in the middle of the desert, right? But I just thank God that none of those rocks hit my skull and that my shot, you know, missed by... I thought he was dead. He was standing there. He was so still that I actually thought that I hit him and he just didn't fall over. And, you know, I've thought a lot about that over the years, and it's just the grace of God. On another occasion, I was walking through the desert, checking an old trail, and I hear this sound of buzzing, like buzzing bees. And I turn the corner, and I see 100 Mexican illegal aliens right in front of me. And I grabbed the closest two, and I figured all the rest would run off, but they didn't run. And because, you know, normally they would run. Well, they didn't run. And so I brought them all out into an open area, and I had them all sit down like you did, like the kindergarten teachers. Yeah, see our teachers back there, what they do. They sit them in Indian style, and I had them untie their shoes, and we waited. And I'll tell you what, the whole time I was there, I was thinking, why don't they just get up and throw rocks at me now? You know, why don't they just get up and tackle me? It's 100-1. But, you know... their main goal was just to get into the United States, and they were sticking together. So, praise God.
Praise God.
I mean, here's my main point. Tribulation is coming. And right, in the tribulation, the existing order, law and order, is going to break down, and the authorities are going to be powerless. Think about the movies, the Godzilla movies. You know, Godzilla is marching towards the city. The people are fleeing. And there's that lone cop with his badge and his whistle, and he's telling everybody to halt. You know, that's no time to be a police officer. It's no time to be standing for the wrong authority.
Wrong authority. Mm-hmm.
It's no time to think that people are going to act rationally, because they won't. You see how they're acting now. A thin blue line's not going to stand, and nobody's going to have your back. So, the only thing that's going to protect anyone, a police officer, soldier, MMA fighter, lion tamer, president, is the full armor of God. You know, if we put on the whole armor of God, we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. At the beginning of this, I mentioned my father, and I would give anything if he came to Jesus. That's for sure. I know there's a lot of men out there who have a lot of regrets, and they have a lot of guilt, and they would be changed, you know, if they would just come here, listen to the pastor, understand what it means to be washed in the blood and written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I came up with a short gospel summary for the law enforcement officer that I want to share with you and those in live streaming land. I promise I won't inflict myself upon you any further.
So, one thing we know is man is evil by nature. It's in his DNA. As a result of his crimes, man is already in the system. If he chooses to retain him, there's an advocate. I don't use the word lawyer because lawyer is too dirty a word to describe Jesus, who has served the sentence and paid the fine. You, as the defendant, are set free for time served and assigned a parole officer, the Holy Spirit, who, if you check in with him daily, will teach you life skills according to his standard operating procedure, the Bible.